we were supposed to do, Joel was supposed to do John 2,
but Joel got called away. So Joel, we're actually going to get T. Joe to do John 3 today, and then Joel will do John 2 next week. So they just basically switch weeks. So we're going to go John 3 and then John 2. So unfortunately, that's just the way it's got to be. So, okay, so we're going to pray and then we'll get T. Joe started. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness that follows us wherever we go, Lord. I pray for these men that come every week that want to get more of you. And Lord, I just pray that we would die to ourselves daily and just get more of you. We want to be transformed into your image, God. Every day, look more and more like you, Father. I pray that the light of the world emanates from us. People look at us and they see you. So, Lord, we just pray that your word would be opened up to us today. We would walk out of here differently than the way that we came in. And that we would go out and be the light of Christ to the world. So we love you. We honor you. We thank you. We worship you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. T.J.
Thank you.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Oh. You know, last 3 years, I've saved so much shampoo, I was able to buy a brand new blow dryer. But you want to talk about a waste of my money, huh? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. First of all, we're in John 3, chapter 3. And here's what I'm going to ask. We're going to rewind to when we were little kids. Okay. And we're going to pretend, okay? That's what we do. We're going to pretend. I remember when I was small, I pretended I was Pistol Pete. Loved basketball, and I would emulate Pistol Pete. So what we're going to do here today is we're going to pretend. We're going to pretend like there's a trash can out in the hall over there. And I'm going to ask something very difficult of each man in here. Okay?
Okay.
I'm going to ask you to take what you believe about God and put it in the trash can.
Wow.
Because we think we know something. And maybe we don't know as we should. Okay? Take, if you will, just mentally. Mine doesn't take up any room. My belief system's in the trash can. Take yours and put them there. Because we're getting ready to talk about a man named Nicodemus. Who is going to go, and we've heard the story. He's going to go and he's going to meet with Jesus. And something about Jesus moved Nicodemus, who was a teacher of teachers, to go and speak to Jesus. He does so in the middle of the night because he doesn't want to lose face with his students that he has taught. But there's something about Jesus that's got Nicodemus' attention. And this story can best be described this way. In John 3, Jesus is attacking man's Christianity. He is about to chainsaw Nicodemus' belief system in hopes of eliminating it and replacing it. And he's about ready to hit Nicodemus squarely between the eyes. And Nicodemus is not going to know what's hit him. Okay, I'm going to read a little bit and then we're going to see how this unfolds. But before I go to chapter 3, I did want to read verse 23 in John 2. Now while he being Jesus, was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. Listen what Jesus says. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them. These are people who believe in him. Jesus said he would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person's heart. Okay, so here comes Nicodemus. You know Nicodemus is trained up and he's got a belief system. Nicodemus would have done a whole lot better off if he left his belief system at home. But we're getting ready to see that Jesus is going to take it all away from them. He's going to change everything that Nicodemus thinks. Nicodemus is going to come. He's going to make a comment. And we never hear what Nicodemus wants to ask Jesus. You know he's coming to talk to him and ask him things. Maybe be taught by him or get some things straightened out in his mind. And Jesus never gives him the opportunity. Okay? I'm going to read it for you. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus changes the subject immediately. "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Okay, stop just for a second. Those two words have never been spoken before in all of mankind. In Ezekiel, there's a reference to being born again where God circumcises the heart. He gives us a brand new spirit. Okay? But this educated man, teacher of the law, the first thing he thinks, you see, we're cheating because we know the story. The first thing he's thinking about is a physical birth. That today is still our problem when we approach God. Nicodemus is approaching God with man's understanding and perspective, and he's a teacher of the law. That still exists today, by the way. Okay? So he's thinking born again. Here's Nicodemus. "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Human perspective. Know this, that when Jesus speaks, every single time he's speaking spiritually.
Yes, he is.
He's speaking from his court. His court is spiritual. Ours is physical. His perspective is spiritual. Ours is fleshy. Nicodemus is a teacher of the law, and he's approaching Jesus Christ according to his human understanding. Okay? This is critically important. Leave the belief system in the trash can for now. And consider these things. Jesus answered and said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of the water and the Spirit." Born of the water is the mother's womb. Born of the Spirit is when a person is born again, first birth, second birth. And then he says, flesh gives birth to flesh, first birth. But the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You know what that means? That means that the flesh cannot do the things of the Spirit. And you know what it also means? The Spirit will not do the things of the flesh.
That's good, bro.
So when T-Joe gets up here to speak, do you realize the responsibility of anyone putting God's name to anything? How careful we must be to speak from our human perspective and our human understanding. So he tells him again, or he says this in verse 7, "You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." And then he's getting ready to blow his mind again. Jesus says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Nicodemus' response, "How can this be? How can this be?" You see, all this time, the Pharisees were teaching from their first birth perspective. How do we know that? Can anyone answer the question? You guys be quiet. How do they know that? How do we know that they've been speaking from and teaching from a first birth perspective? What's that?
Because they hadn't been born again.
That first of all, they couldn't. They hadn't been born again. That is correct, Jeremy. And also, here's Jesus standing right in front of them, and they don't recognize him. You see, their studying created a problem. Study yourself to be approved by God. Be careful how you understand the word study. That word, what's the word?
The study?
Be quick.
Be quick. Be positioned to be taught by him. Okay, not to be taught by you, another man, concerning God, but to be taught by him. The scripture tells us we need no man to teach us. Today's teaching, if Jesus would have entitled anything to Nicodemus, he says, Nicodemus, I'm going to teach you how to be my disciple. I'm going to disciple you. And that's going to be a one-on-one issue. For us, this story is about discipleship. It's about learning what it's like to be taught by God and not by teacher. And so we know, this guy Nicodemus, I'm not bashing Nicodemus at all. I mean, Tejo Demas. You know? That was me. Dexter Demas. Oh man, that's a great name, Dexter Demas. You see, we're all in that spot. We're born that way, and our first birth is easy to understand. It's easy to teach from a first birth perspective. We have a tendency to go 1, 2, 3, ABC, and this is how it's done. And then Jesus says this. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound. You cannot tell where it comes from or where it is gone. He's describing the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. And the work of the Holy Spirit is something that could not be detected or known ahead of time. Most of the time, the majority of the time, the Spirit of God works in the moment and you don't know it's coming. And we're learning what it's like to be familiar, to have the Spirit of God lead us. Just because men and women say it's the Spirit of God doesn't mean it's the Spirit of God. The man or woman who understands that I've got nothing to offer you, God, I don't understand you, and you wake up every morning and you say, Lord, you're too big for me to understand. You must teach me. You have to do it. And I have to be able to hear you.
Yes.
This is not about us. This is not about who we are. This is about who he is. Let's get that straight. We are here for his good pleasure. And so the Spirit is something that Nicodemus didn't understand, because the Holy Spirit was going to come into play now. Something that their believers didn't quite understand either. Being born again is for Nicodemus is impossible to understand. Here's Jesus' reply. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. When he says we and our, who is he speaking of? We and our. Who's he speaking of? See? What's that?
The God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's correct. He says, we're testifying. It's on our court. I'm gonna do like Eric. I'm going to move from the right side to the left side. We're on God's court. When we're born again, that's God's court. We're over here on our court, and Jesus says, you came to me, Nicodemus. We're going to play according to my rules.
All right.
You know what man wants to do? Nicodemus wanted to take Jesus and move him over to his court. He wanted Jesus to fit his understanding. Because the nature of man It's to understand and have answers and to be able to come to a conclusion. And now we feel better about ourselves. You know where that comes from? You know where that desire for knowledge comes from? Adam and Eve bit the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. That's where it comes from. And Nicodemus, man, ever since then, has been trying to drag God, who is too big to understand and know, into our court and our way of understanding. There is a very important reason why what we understand is extremely important. The scripture tells us that the mind of the flesh cannot please God. It's only the mind of the Spirit that's pleasing to God. Only that. So our second birth, if you're born again and you're in here and you're born again, the second birth, the thing we don't understand, that's where faith belongs. Now it makes sense why he gave us faith, correct? Because we don't understand, we're going to have faith. Knowledge is not going to be the primary. Nicodemus came with knowledge, it was primary. Jesus said, oh, I'm going to give you something spiritual, and he blew Nicodemus up. So maybe we're not pretending, or maybe we should not be pretending to take our belief system and put it in the trash can. Maybe we should go ahead and do it for real.
Leave it there. Take your stack of notes.
You know what? God's more interested in us trusting in who He is than what we think we know about Him. When man begins to think what they know about Him and they lean on that own understanding, you know what you're going to get? Correct? You're going to get 45,000 different streams of Christianity that exist today. And the scripture never talked about that being the case. It said one heart, one mind. Just one. I know what I used to do. I go to a certain church. I believe the way that church believed. And I had friends who went to a different church. And they believed a little bit different. And we all believed a little bit different. And after a while, I'm thinking to myself, which one's real? Which one's his? I'll tell you how I got there. I eliminated all of them. I said, God, I give up. Right here. Soul realm, I give up. Now you take over. Do as you want. And you know what, guys? It's not about gaining a bunch of knowledge. The Pharisees missed Jesus. It's not about that. It's not about a particular man's belief system. It's about the who. And now understand, so that we can get a picture. Have you ever watched any videos concerning space? You go to YouTube and you watch. It's incredible what you see out there. And no man really knows how big the universe is. Right? It's huge. It may be a million times bigger than what we know. And there's one that lives in us that spoke that into existence. Now tell me you know him. He knows us. And we're going to Him, and we're going to trust with what He knows. So, man's perspective, human perspective, is always going to get in God's way. It's always going to do that. Without fail. The Bible tells us that the flesh profits absolutely nothing. It profits nothing. It tells us not to lean on our own understanding. Nicodemus walks into this. And we never find out, we never know what Nicodemus was going to ask Jesus. Because Jesus has things that are, God has things that are important to Him. And then man thinks he knows what's important to God. He does. We think we know what's important to God. Just, and listen, this, I was deceived many times, 35 years as a believer. Joey, I was deceived many times in thinking what I believe was right. And then I got these things that I really was convicted about, and I assumed it was God.
Yeah.
And I was influential amongst men, and I would go amongst all these men and tell them what God told me. Come to find out, he never told me that. None of us want that. Nobody wants that. Guys, the only way that this can take place is, like the last time I talked, I told you that little girl was firing at the targets. And they had 20 or 30 out there, and she was missing off to the left. She was missing off to the left. And she could swear when she was looking at it, she was hitting the target. She pulled a target in, she looked at it, no, nothing. And then she had a separate set of eyes come and look at what she was doing. God's perspective comes in and says, oh, T-Joe, this is why you missed the mark all those years. Get rid of all those targets and just put the one up there. Just have the one. One way of thinking, one mind. Yes, we can't do it, but there's one in us that can.
Yes, Lord.
When we think of miracles, signs, and wonders, the parting of the Red Sea, all the plagues, feeding the Israelites for 40 years in the desert, not letting their shoes wear out, all the miracles and wonders that you can think about. You know the biggest miracle and wonder there is that the Creator of all things lives in us.
Yes.
Now you have no choice but to give up on your belief system. When you recognize that the God who created the universe lives in us.
Amen.
Now watch. Here's our hope. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us will teach and he'll get it right. Christ in us will never mislead. The Spirit of God will come when you least expect and start to give us thoughts about who he is. But here's what he won't do. Here's where the Spirit of God, you're going to find an absence of really knowing who he is. It's because in John 2, Jesus does the first miracle. He didn't even know it was coming. Jesus himself didn't know that his time was coming. His mother told him, just told the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. Just do it. They had some water jars sitting off to the side. All of a sudden it hits Jesus. Remember, he's man. But he's listening for the Father, only the Father. And even though his mother told him, he recognized that this was the time. And he takes these big containers. There's 20 or 30 gallon jar, water jars. Okay? He takes them and he tells the servants, go fill it up with water. Not thus saith the Lord, but there's a very good chance that this is probably the case. That those jars didn't have any dirt in them. Not even this much. They were ceremonial cleaning jars, so they were extremely clean. They didn't have dirt on the bottom, because if they'd have poured the water in 30 gallons with this much dirt, it would not have tasted the way it did. You read the story, and remember, here's what it says. Jesus told them, fill that thing all the way up to the brim. Don't leave any room for the flesh. Certainly don't have any dirt, the flesh, in it. That's our soul realm. Take the flesh out of it, how we think, remove it. God, clean it all out, and we're going to start from your perspective. And what he did is he created a wine that the banquet master, who does this, that's his livelihood, does weddings, and he knows good wine when he tastes it. And he says, normally they bring out the bad wine second. The good wine is first. Everybody's drunk. They don't know their way. And they bring out the second one that's not as good. And it really don't matter at that point. But you see, Jesus did it the other way around. He says the second is to become first. And the first is to become last. And what he's talking about the second, He's talking about your second birth. You're born again of the Spirit of God. You're to rely upon that. And the first birth that you have is nothing like this. Matter of fact, you might want to just go ahead and get rid of it. Okay, so that's the picture with that wine that Jesus created. Beautiful picture, and I would assume it was red wine, which is a picture of the blood of Christ. Guys, do not. It's going to take everything you have. It's going to be denying of self, not necessarily in your practice, but in your way of thinking. That has got to get out of the way. So that the mind of Christ that the Bible says we now have can develop for us exactly what the Father desires. We can position ourselves in such a way that the Spirit of God will become known to us. We will recognize Him. We will learn to wait on Him. And it tells us that His ways are better than ours. Why would we not? So the challenge this morning is, are we going to walk into Jesus the same way Nicodemus did? We do know this, that Nicodemus was on some sort of council and he defended Jesus then. And then when Jesus died, he went to get the body. Now that was a public thing right there. So we realize that Nicodemus is saying publicly, and he's a teacher of teachers. Okay? And so everyone who's watching, they're watching Nicodemus to see if he's got this thing right or not. And all of a sudden, Nicodemus is shifting over. And Nicodemus had to learn to drop his way of thinking in exchange for God's way of thinking. Amen. Without noticing it. Without noticing it. We have our way of thinking about God. Right. It comes so natural to us. Yeah. We listen to many things. There's many tables that we eat from and try to learn who God is. Don't you know it's better that God speak for Himself than T. Joe speak for Him?
Yes.
So I'm gonna say to the individuals in this room, go to Him and learn from Him. He will not hide Himself from you. But I will suggest that you put your belief system and leave it in the garbage can. And He can teach you like it's nobody's business. Okay? Do something a little different. If you have any questions, I'm willing to take them.
That was good.
Anything at all. It's a little different, isn't it? It's a different approach. I had a friend of mine, Craig Tate. He says, T. Joe, here's how we're wired. He says, T. Joe, tell me how to do that. I said, Craig, I don't know. 2 days later, he calls me. He says, T. Joe, well, is there like a method to it? Is there, there's something that, that do you have a handbook or something? I said, no, I don't.
A formula.
A formula? I said, no, I do not. And then he says, T. Joe, he says, a week later, he calls. He says, do you have like any keys to how we do this? I said, Craig, the only keys I have to my rental properties. I said, I'm not giving you those. I said, I don't know God well enough to tell you what that looks like. But I can promise you this, when God teaches us, there's not going to be 40 different belief systems. There's going to be one. There's going to be His. Is that not what we're looking for?
Yes, sir.
I mean, I'm assuming that if you're coming here in the morning, you have an interest in God and not man.
Yeah.
And the best way for iron to sharpen iron, and the only way that iron's really going to sharpen iron, if it's in the spiritual realm, not the physical one.
Yeah.
Okay? If we're going to really sharpen iron, we're going to remind our brother to trust our God. He's trustworthy. And to go be taught by Him. Okay? So that's the real iron sharpener. Other than that, it's just plastic attempting to sharpen plastic. Two plastic knives. And we call it iron sharpening iron. Okay? Now, I guess tradition says that we close in prayer.
It's all on you, bro. Please.
If you'd like.
Please.
Okay. Lord.
Yeah.
Since your ways are much higher than ours, and as you told Job and his friends, you guys don't know what y'all talking about. Lord, you told me the same. You shut my mouth, discipled me, taught me what it's like to be still, that I might know that you're God. And Lord, by taking all those things away, your life then began to appear, something I never knew for 30 years. And I know it's your desire that each man in this room and outside of this room would know you that way. Lord, the scripture tells us that you loved us first. Not that we loved you first. So Lord, we open the door. We take everything out of your way. I pray that each man would allow you to come in and do your good work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah.